Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. God bless you and welcome to this morning's Watchman Radio broadcast. I want to begin the broadcast today out of Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp. That word there is the dava, your speech, your speaking, your utterance. It also means your business or your occupation, the things that employ the work of God. The lamp unto my feet, or is a lamp, your word, your speech, is a lamp, is this nair or near, and it simply means to glisten or to light a candle, something that burns. Today we live in a world that is filled with speech, and there are voices everywhere, and every word has spirit behind it. Jesus Christ, in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, said, "The words that I speak are spirit and they are life." Or in other words, the words that I speak tend towards life, direct towards life, influence toward life. So obviously, if the words that Yeshua, Jesus, spoke were words that led to life, there are words that are spoken by spirit or that have spirit behind them that tend towards death. There is a word that tends toward inspiration. There's a word that tends towards corruption. The question today on our radio broadcast is, what spirit is guiding your life? Or what speech or what word is influencing your mind? We live in a day where mind control is a very real thing. There are tons of evidences available to anybody that would seek that the higher ups in the world have learned how to manipulate the mind of man. Subliminal thinking, thoughts, ideas within music or in other ways of life. There is no doubt that temperament can be stirred up or calmed down by different frequencies. And we are so far behind in the technology realm of the manipulations available to those that would use it for their own benefit, that we need to be very aware and very careful of what is influencing our lives, what is directing us, what is leading us. When we look at the world around us, what lens are we looking through? I've come to realize that so many people in our country, maybe around the world as well, but so many people in our country are influenced either by CNN or by Fox News. We have a huge population of people that view the world through the lens of the news media. And if you're on the left, well, CNN is your choice, and they'll tell you what they want you to hear. You go to Fox News, and they give you the news that you've chosen to hear, the more conservative news. Now, what's interesting, if you watch CNN for 1 year and you come under that influence, you're going to see the world through what they're telling you if you give yourself over to it. If you watch Fox News for a year, you're going to believe what they're telling you. They're going to influence your thinking. And the people on the left are going to say, well, CNN is right. And the people on the right are going to say, Fox News is right. And so we live in this world of influences. And what I love about Psalm 119, verse 105, is that the writer said, thy word, your speech, your channel, your message, Yahweh, Holy Spirit, Yeshua is the word. Jesus is the word made flesh. Your word is a burning light. It is a lamp. It is a torch. It is an illumination to my path for my feet to walk in. The Bible has many, many scriptures that tell us the same exact thing. And so the question today is, what's influencing you? What is influencing your thinking? What is influencing my thinking? What are we looking at? What lens are we looking through? And I want to advocate the lens of scripture. I want to say to the narrow-minded few that be out there that are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that this is a really good time for you to make a decision that rather than looking through the Fox lens or the CNN lens or the lens of anything else other than scripture as revealed by the Holy Spirit, that should be your and mine lens. That is our lens. We are to look at the world through what the scriptures are telling us. Because if we look at the world through any other lens, there's no doubt that there's going to be a blot on it. It's going to be blighted. It's going to be darkened. There's going to be a little lack. There's a little leaven. There's a little fox that spoils the vine. But when we come to the pure, unadulterated Word of God, there is no doubt in my mind, and probably not in yours either, there is no blight. There is no deception. There is no darkness. There is no lack. We do not need to look through any other lens to navigate our path before us. And there is no doubt that the world that we are living in through today's modern technology is a world that is battling for the mind of man. Every news network, every television channel, every radio broadcast, every podcast, every internet radio broadcast, all YouTube videos, everything is competing for your mind and my mind. And that's why I believe it is imperative in this spiritual battle, because it's not just CNN and Fox News, you know, one's good, one's evil. Remember, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil still produced death. There was a tree of life, and there was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. So we might say that Fox is good. Some people say it's evil. But we may say CNN is evil. Some people say it's good. Regardless, either or, there's your knowledge of good and evil. but they both produce the same result, death. So if you want to know life, and if I want to know life, and if I want to look at the world through a lens of purity and holiness and accuracy, I need to begin with the Word of God. Some people might say, well, there's a lot of people look through the Bible, they read the Bible, but they come up with different connections. They come up with different ideas, and it's true. I believe that the narrow-minded remnant, the few that have been born again, selected and chosen by Yahweh, will have a very special ability to interpret the Word of God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see, there is a spirit of truth in the world today, and the spirit of truth is the spirit that Jesus was telling his disciples about, that the spirit of truth would come into the world after the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, and that the spirit of truth would bear witness to the Word of God. You and I have access to that spirit of truth. Why are you born again? Why are you a Christian? Who are you? Did God create you to be a Baptist or a Catholic or a Pentecostal or a Charismatic or a Lutheran or a Presbyterian or one of a thousands of different denominations? No, you have been born again as a new creation. God has selected and chosen you because he knows something about you before the four thought of the world. I mean, where do we get this information from? This is all in the Bible. We have not chosen God. God has chosen us, and God has put his spirit in us because we have believed in his son, Jesus Christ. Now, the world, that doesn't make any sense to them. They believe that's too narrow-minded of a view, that Jesus is some antiquated religious symbol, et cetera, et cetera. But to you and I, he's anything but that. And you and I have a witness and a testimony that our faith in Jesus Christ has produced life in us. We were dead in our sins. We were dead. We were in darkness. We were the walking dead. We were animated, but we were dead spiritually to our relationship with God. But when the energetic baptism of the Holy Spirit quickened life in us, our heavens opened again, and the Word of God illuminated our minds, and we began a journey going after the King, going to the celestial city, if you will. And we have been walking in this life, but the world we live in is competing for our mind, for our attention. It wants to guide us in its direction. Now, looking through the lens of Scripture does not necessitate an ignorance of what is going on in the world. In fact, if you really want to know what's going on in the world and what time it is, the ideal lens to look through is the lens of Scripture, because now we're looking through God's Word, and God has shown us from the beginning to the end who he is, how he operates. God has never changed, even though covenants have changed. We call it an old covenant, a new covenant, but God has never changed. The Apostle Paul tells us to look back to the Old Testament, if you will, to learn about God, to find examples so that we don't follow them or make the same mistakes. Well, the world repeats that. They say, you know, if we don't learn from history, we're bound to repeat it. Well, they're just getting that from the Word of God. And so much information that the world has has basically come out of the Word of God, this ancient book. It may be ancient, but it's alive today. It's wisdom, it's revelation, it's truth, it's knowledge, its ability to forecast and tell us exactly where we are is very unique. There's no other book like it, the Bible, the Torah, the New Covenant, the Torah made flesh, it's all there. But it begins with a faith in Jesus Christ, which opens the door to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This Spirit is truth. And if you want truth in your life, then that truth will only be revealed through faith in Yeshua. So what are you saying? You mean the Muslims don't have truth? The Jews don't have truth? The unbelieving Jews don't have truth? The atheists don't have truth? The agnostic doesn't have truth? The socialist doesn't have truth? The communist doesn't have truth? People in the world don't have truth? Well, listen. The devil rarely comes to somebody with a pitchfork and a big red cape Okay? He very rarely comes to a person like that. He always comes as a crafty serpent. He always comes with a little bit of truth. I mean, he even spoke to Jesus in the wilderness when he said to Jesus, what? It is written, right? So when you look at the battle of Yeshua in the wilderness with the devil employs scripture to try to get Jesus to capitulate to his will. Thank God Jesus knew the word. He was the word, and he had the spirit of truth within him. So my point is, everybody has a little bit of truth, but remember, even if you had a lot of truth and a little bit of arsenic, a little bit of poison, a little bit of leaven, it would still leaven the whole loaf. It would kill you. It would poison your mind. It would blind you. No, we need the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit of truth, the eternal Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Yahweh, the Spirit of Abba, the Spirit of Yeshua. And what will the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit will only enlighten the Word of God. The Word and the Spirit are one. The Spirit will not speak of anything other than the Word. Now, in the New Age, for example, metaphysics, science of mind, you know, people claim to be spiritual people. And so they got this New Age metaphysical mindset, and they claim to have some spiritual insight. They may have some ability to have psychical or soulical understanding about things or some predictive things, you know, read your palm or whatever. But those people are unwilling. That spirit in them very rarely directs them to the commandments of Yahweh, to the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Yeshua, the Word of God, the epistles, the new covenant. Very rarely are people in the New Age led about by the Spirit that brings them to conformity with the Word of God, in obedience to the will of God that's revealed in the Word of God. They want to go into this realm of spirituality, but they're not going through the door. They're trying to climb over the wall and get involved in things, and they always wind up getting lost because that area, we'll just call it space. Space is a really big place. You leave our atmosphere and you go into space, you could wander around for eternity and never find the ground that you're looking for. And there are so many that are caught up into these influences. There are so many that are caught up into the influence of, let me get my phone here, is ringing. There are so many caught up into the influences of, again, a spirit that is a counterfeit spirit that leads people into a quote-unquote spiritual way of life, but it's really blinding them and deceiving them and bringing them into a place where they never really accomplish anything, or nothing is really accomplished in them. You meet these people everywhere, all the time. They have much pride, and they boast that they have knowledge, but the Word of God tells us that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And so what is out there is a counterfeit. There's counterfeit love. There's counterfeit truth. There's counterfeit spirituality. There's a counterfeit Jesus, a bloodless Christ, a bloodless gospel, a crossless Christ, and a crossless gospel, a gospel that really is empty and void of the intrinsic value of God's word, because there are arguments against it. Well, how could the Bible be true? It was written thousands of years ago by so many different people. And this is the ignorance of people to think that just because there's a book with a bunch of information that was written by a bunch of people, that somehow God wasn't in it. I mean, you're telling me that God cannot inspire men to write his message and put it in pages, and then God is not able to compile all those messages throughout time, gather them together, put it in a book, and give it as a revelation to mankind? Well, if you ever read the Bible, you would see from Genesis to Revelation, it is impossible that God didn't write that book through many individuals who were inspired by the Spirit of truth and wrote under inspiration. You know, we like to look at Nostradamus and say that he was inspired. He may have been, but what inspired him? Does his message line up with the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? Have you ever read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation and seen how perfectly united the Old Testament and the New Testament are? That there is a line that that just spans the beginning to the end that is so perfect? I mean, think about it. Why would anybody abandon the ancient wisdom that is more wise today than any wisdom that's in the world? Well, because there is another spirit in the world today. And we need to understand this. Remember, every word has spirit behind it. Every word. What is spirit? The very breath that pushes the word out of our mouth. There's a breath there. That breath is spirit. And either that breath is inspired by the Holy Spirit, or that breath is inspired by our own intellect, our own reason, our own logic, our own will, where we begin to think that we are gods. And when we think we are gods and we abandon the living God, the true God, well, now we're in awesome pride, and that's not good. That is horrible, terrible pride, because we're abandoning the wisdom of God in exchange for our own wisdom that we're getting out of 18% of our brain, and then something that we've learned in somebody's book that we don't even know them. Here's what we know about Jesus, the Word made flesh. It's his book, right? We know that he so loved the world that he gave his life. We know that Jesus died on the cross, not for his own sins, but he died on the cross and shed his blood for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world, which is love. So when I read the Bible, I know that it's coming out of the heart of love, and I know that God's love is the spirit behind this word, and that in the Word of God, in the Bible, is the liberty that the creation is looking for. Now, there's social media, Facebook, Twitter, all kinds of blog talks out there, bloggers, writers, poems, books, billions and billions, right? Well, all of that is competing with God's word. And yet God's word is truth. And the question is, why would not the creation want to return to the creator with a revelation of truth? And here's where people are angry at God. They're angry at the church. They're angry at a pastor. They have been taught by another spirit that the church is bad and the church is evil. What does the church have to do with the Word of God, right? Everything. The church is supposed to be the carrier of the Word of God. The church is supposed to be a revelation of what the Word of God brings to us. And so people today are looking at the condition of the church, and I'm talking about the mainline church, the mainstream church, and they're looking at it and they're seeing many different denominations, which in and of itself is not a bad thing. I mean, you look at your body, you've got a bunch of different parts. You got a brain, you got a heart, you got an arm, a liver, a lung. So just because there are different denominations does not necessitate a problem. And when you think about it, for the most part, the church does, all believers basically do believe that there was an actual man by the name of Jesus who actually lived in Jerusalem and Israel, who was born in Bethlehem, who came out of Galilee, and we could go on down the list. And we believe that this Jesus died on a cross, and on the third day he rose from the dead. And then 40 days later, he ascended to the right hand of God. The general belief of the church in the mainstream, the mainline, is that basic truth, the gathering around the cross, the symbol of our faith, and the meaning of the shedding of the blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Well, that is a basic reality. But somewhere along the line, we go deeper into study, and the Apostle Peter said something amazing about the Apostle Paul. Apostle Peter actually warned the disciples that he was writing to be careful, because Paul had such a deep revelation of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God, and he wrote things that were very powerful, but the unlearned and the unstable wrestled with those words even under their own destruction. In other words, you don't give baby a bunch of meat. They'll choke on it. So the administration of the gospel necessarily first of all, has to be the milk. You give a baby milk. And then when you give the milk, and what is the milk representative of? Well, it's certainly not an end of anything, but certainly the milk of the word is to be established in the grace of God. What is the message that the whole world needs to hear first and foremost? Well, the message of the gospel is the grace that God is giving to the world. And what is grace? It is the unmerited favor of God. In other words, the undeserved favor of God. God reaches out to a rebellious, sinful humanity that has become an enemy of God in mind and thought, in reason and logic and rebellion. Literally, we are enemies, and yet God, while we're enemies, condescends, dies on a cross, sheds his blood so that we could be forgiven and know that we were his enemies through ignorance, whatever kind of ignorance we had. But now he brings enlightenment and illumination to us that God loves us and he's not our enemy. He doesn't want to be our enemy. It's not his fault that the human condition is what it is today. It was our own sin, our own rebellion against him. And so he comes to us as a salvation. He doesn't expect us to be able to save ourselves. So he knows the only thing to do is allow himself to come to this earth and to take on the offense, because there has to be a legal justice. Justice has to be had. And so he puts all justice on his son himself, an expression of himself, and the weight of our sins is upon him. What is this? This is mercy. This is unmerited favor. This is the divine influence upon the heart that is reflected in the life. And this is what has happened to millions of people around the world, if not billions. What has happened? People have come to a conclusion in their lives that they are sinners, that they have been in rebellion against God, that they had been trained and learned by the satanic, and I'll get to that in just a moment, why they shouldn't believe in Jesus Christ, why they shouldn't believe in God, why they're angry at Jesus. I'll tell you who's angry at Jesus. The devil is angry at Jesus. Satan is angry at Jesus. Lucifer is angry at Jesus. And he puts his hate, his anger, his enmity and animosity in the soul of man from as early as possible, from a baby in the womb. He tries to already manipulate every soul on this earth to be contrary to Jesus Christ. And we're all born in that direction. But when the gospel is preached and you and I receive the gospel and we sense that this is the love of God, the love of Christ, that the entire message is rooted in love and love demonstrated, not love whimsical or love emotional or love just in word, but no, the true love of God is manifested and revealed in our lives by what we see Christ do. Go to the cross, die the death, shed his blood. I mean, this is the grace of God saying to the human race, I love you, to the Jew first, and then to the rest of the world. I mean, that's the way that God said it. But the entire gospel of Jesus Christ is to the ends of the earth. It's for everybody. It was for Adolf Hitler. It's for the gangbanger, the prostitute, the drug addict, the drug dealer, El Guapo. It's for everybody. It is for everybody. And the whole world has sinned against God. We're all guilty, but grace is the gift of God, the unmerited favor of God. And if we don't receive that grace, we will never know intimacy with our Creator. We will never find our way back to Him. If we try to get to God without the grace of God, if we try to approach God without the grace of God, we can't. We are going to find ourselves in New Age being spiritual, but without value. But when you and I receive the grace of God, we receive the treasure of Christ, the goodness of Christ, the glory of God. And when we receive this forgiveness, we know that the highest power in the universe has canceled out and blotted out our offense, and that there is no longer any guilt, shame, or condemnation against us. Now, folks, let me tell you something. This is the pure, unadulterated gospel, just a fraction of it. And you could build on this for the rest of your life. Every person on this planet needs to know the grace of God. But there is a force in the world, okay? There's a force in the world. And it does come through the unbelieving Jew. And remember, when the gospel was preached by a Jew, the Apostle Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was the stock of Abraham. But he got born again. He found his Messiah. It was the unbelieving Jews that came against him. So there is a force in the world today. And I'm not saying that force is the unbelieving Jew. What I'm saying is that there are still Jews that haven't turned to the grace of God. They're still trying to approach God under the law. But they can't. They're not there. They're still going to the wailing wall. Why? Why are they banging their heads against the wailing wall? They're still waiting for something. Jesus told Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. So the whole world that has not yet known the grace of God basically is steeped in deception. It's true. The truth will show you that. The world is steeped in deception. The words that are going on through social media are filled with deception. There may be a little truth because, again, no one's just going to drink a bottle of poison. Satan's not going to come to you like that. He comes like a crafty serpent. That's how he came to Adam and Mrs. Adam, as a crafty serpent. He always puts a little bit of truth. Hath God really said? Does he not know? I mean, he always does it. So the anger, the rebellion, the hatred, the enmity, the animosity that's in a human soul against God has been put there by another source. Ah, so what is necessary for the love of God to be demonstrated to show the world that God is not the one that we need to be hating? Why do we hate a God that loves us? Why do we hate a God that, when you really study the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, is only good? A God that created heaven and earth, a God that created man in his own image and likeness, a God who gave man a garden, an economy, a way of life, a beauty, a blessing. Why are we angry at him? It was us who were led about by a dragon, a serpent, a devil, a Satan in the garden to influence us away from God. And when we sinned, he turned our mind against God. So you live in a world where there's a spiritual influence that is influencing God, people's minds away from God. Why does the world want to continue to operate in corruption? Pornography, homosexuality, lesbianism, adultery, drinking, drunkenness, drugs, money, greed, covetousness. Why? Why do our television screens 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, broadcast blasphemy against God? Why do they blaspheme the holy name of God, the name of Jesus? Why is there such a strong antichrist spirit in the world today? Why is the Bible ridiculed and mocked? Why are the people in Hollywood, the gurus, the little gods, or the professors, or these false religious teachers that, again, everything that steers away from the grace of God that can only be found in Jesus Christ, why? Because they're deceived. That's why. The guru is deceived. The New Ager is deceived. Anybody that rejects the grace of God is still under darkness. And then, unfortunately, Jesus told us why people would refuse to come to the light. Because they love darkness. They love darkness. But how sad is it that the human being will die in darkness, never receiving the grace of God, which is in the Word of God that explains the truth of God, and we die in our little vapor, in our little breath, leaving what behind? What do we have? We have Facebook. We have all these different social media networks. What are they producing? Words. Where are those words leading? Well, some of them are really good. You could go on Facebook and you could go on some pages and find the pure, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. You really can. You could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ through platforms like YouTube, Facebook, social media. You could use Twitter, Tweeter, whatever. But the point is, why is the world so steeped in darkness still? We must direct every single mind to Jesus Christ and then give them an opportunity to make a decision. Do I want to receive this love of God? Do I want to admit the fact that my conscience is guilty? I do have shame, guilt, and condemnation in my soul. I regret things that I have done. I admit I am a sinner. I know it without anybody telling me. I've even become angry in my sin. I love my sin. I take pride in my sin. I'm rebellious in my sin. And yet I know the gnawing that's going on. We must share with the world that in that very condition, Jesus Christ died for you. We have to tell the world that the good news, which is the meaning of the word gospel, the good news is God's grace. He is a merciful God. He didn't create us to be what we have become. He created us in His image and likeness. He wanted to fill our hearts and minds with His wisdom, with His truth, with His light, with His spirit, with His love. He wanted the nations of the earth to be repopulated and reproduced after His kind. And unfortunately, we reproduce the earth after our kind, the fallen mankind. We're told that Adam and Mrs. Adam had another son named Seth, and they had Cain and Abel, but they reproduced after their kind. That was not a good kind. That was a fallen, broken humanity. If they would have reproduced in the garden without sin, what would they have reproduced? God's likeness and image in the earth. So what did God do? He didn't just abandon the ship. He labored for 4 millennial days, 4,000 years, to bring His Son into this earth so that man could come back to Him through an act of reconciliation, a conciliatory act to bring man back to God to receive His Spirit so they can be born again into the original intent of what God intended. I mean, what could be better than that? What about this hostility, this hatred, this anger? You know, we're always looking at people, the North Koreans, the Russians, the Chinese. Well, they need the gospel too. There are Russian Christians that are absolutely beautiful. Iranian Christians, absolutely beautiful. North Koreans that are absolutely beautiful, born again. Chinese Christians who pay the price daily, who are born again. People all over the world. There is not one nation on this earth that there's not salt and light in. And that salt and light are the believers who have come to faith in Jesus Christ and have received the grace of God and are risking their lives to bring that grace to their people. The earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, and yet it's not overwhelmed yet. It will be. But the church is here as salt and light, and we can't give up on the message. We need to use every platform available to tell everybody. Now listen, we're not pointing a self-righteous finger at the New Ager, at the metaphysics. In fact, we ourselves who are born again, we have seen the condition of the church and at times said, well, no wonder people are having a hard time. But we can't show the people the church. We direct them to Jesus. But again, we cannot ignore the fact when we point them to Jesus, you and I are the one that is manifesting what Christ is. And if we don't have a good witness and a good testimony, well, we get ourselves into a lot of trouble and we don't do a lot of help for the things that are right. So here's the point. None of us began perfect. None of us were presto made perfect overnight by our confession. We all came damaged, and you're damaged, and I have been damaged. We've all been damaged. Everybody in the world is damaged. Every Hollywood star, quote unquote, is damaged. Every politician is damaged. And some are more damaged than others. And sometimes the damage isn't that we're broken drug addicts. The damage is that we're so stinking intelligent and rich and so charismatic that we don't see a need for Jesus Christ. But that's broken as well, because we're talking about what goes on in the heart. We have a lot of work to do and a little time to do it. And what we must do is, again, tell the world this message. Let them experience for themselves the grace of God. Rather than walking in hatred and anger and enmity and animosity, know that the love of God will change your life. Listen, even though we're not perfect yet in Christ Jesus, we certainly are. He sees the finished work in us. We know since the day we believe that God began a work in us, and the Word of God tells us that he who began a good work will complete it. So I know that he's accomplishing something in us, that our time as Christians on this earth is not empty, that there's eternal value that's being built into us. And it's not just knowledge through some guru's message. It is a message of love that has intrinsic value to change our lives, to put an end to our rebellion and hostility and enmity against God, and turn to him and love him and allow his Spirit to dwell in us. Now, why is it important for the Holy Spirit to dwell in you and to dwell in me? Because that is God's eternal life. In the book of Hebrews, we're told that the Spirit is the eternal Spirit. And if you know about eternal life, then the eternal Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, when he comes into you, he will bring you into eternal life. Now, we also know that your soul is going to live eternally. But without the Spirit of truth bringing it into spiritual life, eternal life, your soul is going to go on forever, but it's not going to go into life. It's going into death. And what is that death? The lack of accomplishment, nakedness throughout eternity. Darkness forever, never able to really come to the conclusion, never arriving at the destiny. You know, a lot of people think because they made it in Hollywood there and they're called a star and they have the limelight that they've become something. They seem so guru-ish. They seem so wise and intelligent, but their wisdom is so ignorant when you compare it to the truth. Becoming a Hollywood star and having money and wealth and sitting down and talking the new age, you know, conversation, where's the wisdom in that? You still die like a man, abandoning the grace of God through the blood of Jesus. You're not going to go into eternity and come back and tell anybody what's going on. It's ignorance. It's foolishness. I've accomplished something. I have become a great star. I'm a great professor. I am this. I am that. And who did that for you? You? No, the guru in the scientific community, in our New Age church in Hollywood, they told me some things. Was it based in the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of your sins, the clearing of your conscience? If not, you're in vanity. You are going to die and go into darkness and realize how unaccomplished you really are, how unfulfilled you really are, and you're just surrounded by a world that's applauding you now, but when you die, there's going to be no applause. You're not going to have any name in Hollywood. It's not going to matter. You're not going to be a ghost wandering around looking about how everybody misses you and loves you and wishes you were here. Folks, if you are not connected to God through his son, Jesus Christ, and the grace of God is not operating in your life through the blood of the cross, and the Spirit of truth has entered into your heart, and you begin to study the word of God and find real wisdom that it's not about you, it's about God working in you, and it's what he accomplishes, not what you accomplish, what will happen to you when your vain life is over, when your last breath is gone? Well, the Word of God, the wisdom, the intelligence of God tells us you're going to be unclothed in the realm of darkness, and you're going to realize what you refused to admit when you had an opportunity. What did you refuse to admit? The fact that you are in rebellion, broken, damaged, and yet God loved you and had a way for you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He wasn't a Buddha talking about the way, about the truth, about life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And Buddha would agree today. I guarantee it. So why neglect your relationship with Yahweh through his son Yeshua by the shedding of his blood, and why would you reject the eternal Holy Spirit? Why? Because you may not have all the applause that you're getting today, because there's another very active force in this world, and it's filled with deception, and it pulls you in, and it makes you feel good. And for a moment, you think you're really accomplishing something, and you really are something special, until your old body begins to wear down, and you begin to go the way of every other human being, and you realize that you've accomplished nothing of eternal value because you've rejected eternal life through the blood of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. I mean, how desperate is that? You're so fragile, you're walking on eggshells, and quite frankly, with all your guru spirit, you're terrified. You are terrified by your eternal reality, and you're believing what they're telling you about eternal life. You're going to go in some place, and you're not going to exist, and you're going to perish. Folks, Jesus said, if you die without God's grace, now I'm not the judge of the universe. I'm just reading the scriptures, and I know there's truth to it. And I know even in this, there's a love message to keep us out of it. But the scriptures tell us, when you awaken in your soul after this life, which is very clear we will do, without Christ, you're going to suffer. In fact, the scriptures tell us you're going to go into weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because your reality is going to become apparent, and you're going to see that you have rejected the way in your pride or rebellion or love for darkness, and now you're paying the price. And unfortunately, it doesn't end. Your rebellion is a very serious issue before God. You gurus and you people that are so intelligent out there in all of your politics and new age and technocracy and technology and on and on and on, you great big wise people of the world, your wisdom is foolishness in comparison to the wisdom of God. So why won't you give it up? Why won't you exchange the wisdom of the world for the wisdom of God? What's got you? Well, I'm going to tell you what's got you. You have been taken over by a spirit. Remember, those words that you believe, that you let in your mind, they all had spirit behind them. And that spirit, that influence, has taken hold of you. And it's forming you. And it's using you to spread that message of Hollywood or politics or whatever. You're spreading, and your life is showing people, because you got the glamour and the glitz, that they should follow you. And you're leading people into hell. And there are people in this world that say, that's right, we love to do that. We hate God so much. We hate God so much. We hate Jesus Christ so much. Now, why do they hate? Because they've been more taken over by the demonic. They are possessed by demonic spirit. They have such hatred. They drink blood. They eat babies' feces, for goodness sake. They are so wicked that they have sex with little boys and little girls and are pedophiles. I mean, they're so grossly wicked. And the more evil that they do, the more they're taken over by a spirit. And then they're basically supposed to tell everybody, look at me, look what I'm getting for being evil. Follow me and you'll get all the goods. It's like the devil coming to Jesus saying, bow down to me and I'll give you all the nations of the earth. Well, Jesus knew better. So your life is being used as a portrait to guide people into your wisdom that you receive from a devil. And your life is telling people, follow me because look what I have become. How sick is that? How twisted is that? What have you become in your inner being? What have you become? Your life is something to follow. You're getting older every day. You're perishing. You are perishing. Your body is breaking down. You say, that's the way of everything. Yes, but in the gospel, the good news is, as the eternal spirit of God is in us and we're walking, even if we do die, we have the promise of the resurrection. Because Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection. Religion talks about the resurrection. Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. You're not going to get a resurrection from Buddha or anybody else. So why are we saying this today? Because, man, I'm telling you, you're not listening to a perfect man, but I'm sharing with you a perfect word. I'm sharing with you a perfect gospel. And I could tell you that the man you're listening to, he has been born again. He has been filled with the Holy Spirit, and I have been influenced by God, and I have seen the blessing of the Lord upon my life, and I've seen deliverance and salvation and healing and restoration. And I just keep moving forward, and it seems like it just gets better, better, and better. And there is a change, a transformation in my life because of God's love. So I know it's real. I know God is real. I know Jesus is real. I know the Holy Spirit is real, and I want you to know it. And again, this is not coming from a critical finger of self-righteousness. I was just as damaged and more damaged than anybody out there. Wicked, perverted, twisted, inside out, broken. And yet Jesus Christ, the great physician, put his hands on my life and brought about a restoration. I mean, I could tell you the story. We could sit down someday and talk about what God has done. And there's nothing inside of me that says, look what I did, how proud I am about my accomplishments. I could do nothing. My righteousness is as filthy rags before God. I have done nothing to help myself. I have simply yielded my life to the King. And the King has been working in me. And he's been doing something. And my future is bright. I know where I'm going when I die. And it's just not whimsical faith. There are evidences everywhere, a lifetime of evidence that God is good and God is real and he is alive and he loves. I mean, that's just clear. That's just simple. I'm seeing a friend right now. Her name is Kim, is here, and she's just kind of flowing with me right now. Hello, Kim. God bless you on YouTube. She said, I know he showed me how real he is too. I love that. I love that. You know, and Kim, I hope that you'll subscribe to our channel. I hope you'll get the news out because we have a short time to win as many people. Again, we're not going to condemn every politician on this earth, and we're not going to condemn every Hollywood star. We're trying to reach out to everybody in university. Look where the world's going right now. Through social media, we're leaning heavily towards socialism, antichrist spirit, communism. I mean, look where it's going. And why do I say that? Because basically the left is promoting everything that brings people into destruction. Everything that leads people into destruction is what the left is promoting. But I don't want to condescend to that conversation right now. I've done a little bit of talking here today. I didn't realize it was already this time. So what I would like to do is know, anybody out there listening, we are also sounding out on Blog Talk Radio. We are on YouTube today. We are on Omega Radio. So we have Blog Talk Radio for anybody that would like to share in the conversation today. The number to call is 818-369-0326. And if you would like to share, just press 1 on your dial pad and we'll bring you right into the conversation. That's again, 818-369-0326. We're waiting for your call. We've got about 7 minutes left on the broadcast. An hour from now, I'm going to be over at KERM Radio. We're going to be preaching there as well on AM/FM Radio and on KURM.net. We are going to be broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on OmegaRadio.org. Go to OmegaRadio.org. Can you imagine if Mark Zuckerberg, who's going up to sit with Congress today, could you imagine if he got born again? Think about this. What if he took his entire conglomerate, Facebook, right? What if he got born again and Yeshua met him like the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus? And he began to use that Facebook, and rather than weeding out conversations like these, we began to weed out everything that was dark and ugly. You say we want free speech. Okay, so you create a platform for free speech. So how would that work if Mark got born again? How would he use this free speech platform to advance the cause of divine love, divine grace? What could he do? Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to happen one day. I hope Mark Zuckerberg gets saved, gets born again through the truth and the knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. It's very late in the hour, but God's grace can save anybody today. And the only thing we could hope for, the only thing we could hope for is that you, the Christian, the born again spirit, will begin to open your mouth and let the word of God that's in you come out. And the breath that you speak is empowered by the Holy Spirit. that you and I will speak the truth in love. We need to talk about what's evil in this world. We need to talk about what is not right. You can't ignore the reality. You know, if someone's house is on fire, you don't across the street whisper, excuse me, your house is on fire. No, you basically shout, you run, you get a phone, you run to the house, you do everything you can. And yet we live in a world that people are dying all the time. Where are they going? Where are people going? Waiting for your call, 818-369-0326. Do you realize today that you are the only speaking spirit in the universe? Human beings are the only speaking spirits. We're talking here particularly the voice box that we have. Dogs bark, birds chirp, they do all that, cats meow. But we are speaking spirits. And the word that we speak is either light or darkness. It's either life or death. And if I speak out of the intelligence of my own brain that's been damaged through sin, what kind of a message am I going to preach? Regardless of how sophisticated I may become in my education in university and in how intelligent I may become by the books I read, what am I going to become, a touter of their message? You're only speaking someone's message that you've learned. What message are we to speak? Well, I'm going to speak the message of Scripture because I've seen the power of the Word of God in my life, and so have you. And I want my breath to be overwhelmed by the breath of Yahweh, the Spirit of God. And I want the Spirit of God to take control of my breath, and I want the words that come out of my spirit, which if I don't read this Bible, I'm not going to have the ability to speak God's Word. Or I'm going to misunderstand it or misquote it. And I don't mean we're walking around like a King James Bible quoting, thus saith the Lord. I'm not saying that. You got to know this word, though. This word must be, how did we begin today? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Wow. Thy word. Get to know the word. It's in the Bible. It's in pages. You read it. But guess what happens? That word becomes a reality in your life. The word is Yeshua. The word is Yeshua. Well, again, let me just remind you, if you will get the word out to people on YouTube, we want to be broadcasting every day on YouTube, Monday through Friday, from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. We are broadcasting live on omegaradio.org, and we're broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com/X-Man777. So we're broadcasting on three platforms right now. We want to get this message out. It has the potential to go throughout this nation and around the world. We want to get that message out. We want to exalt Jesus Christ. We're not exalting ourselves. We're not even exalting our own ministry. We want to make sure that what we're saying is going to bring some value. And dear sir, dear madam, today, if you're listening, you're hearing, this was not intended to turn you away, but to bring you near, to let you know that you are loved and that God has demonstrated his love for you, for the whole human race. And whatever you're going through, whatever condition your life is in, if you'll turn in faith to Jesus Christ and ask him, if you're the way, true, and life, I want you to be part of my life. I want you to come into my life. I've tried everything. It's just not working. Even religion, even Christian religion. Folks, we're not promoting religion. True religion, the word religion is used one time in the scriptures. It's in the book of James. And he simply said, true religion is taking care of the widows and the orphans and being unspotted from this world. One time religion is used in the new covenant. So we're not promoting religion. Religion is taking care of widows and orphans and being unspotted from the world. We are promoting Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the lover of your soul and mine, and your rejection of him is only a sadness to his heart because he can't get that love through to you until you open the door. Open the door in Hollywood, in university, in government, in the social media. Open the door of your heart to him. I have to believe if you respond to this message, you're going to see a good result. Okay, I'm going to be going for right now. God bless everybody out on YouTube, and God bless everybody on Omega Radio. There's a roundtable discussion. You want to go deep in some spiritual knowledge? Tune into roundtable discussion on Omega Radio.org right now. You will be absolutely amazed. God bless everybody. I'm going to go there right now, and we're going to start that broadcast as we speak. Shalom and God bless.